for the Athletic Podcast Network. This is The Update. I'm Adam Copeland. On today's show, we'll talk to David Lombardi, who covers the 49ers for The Athletic, about what the 49ers are going to do for about the next month and a half without any OTAs. They did cancel their final OTA practice after an injury to Tarvarius Moore, an injury to Justin School, and of course, Jeff Wilson Jr. going down with a knee injury a couple of weeks ago. Kyle Shanahan thought maybe better for the team to get off the field, get rested up, and then get back at it at the end of July. All stuff we can talk about with David Lombardi, who joins me next. Today is Wednesday, June 16th. It's a pleasure and always fun when we can talk football with David Lombardi, who covers the 49ers for The Athletic. David, a little change of plans after the 49ers, and we were just talking about this before we got going, canceled one practice, though a lot of people are looking at it as though the entire like off-season program was canceled and 49ers aren't going to get the work in that everybody else is getting in. So first off, how are you, man? And how did the changing of the scheduling for these OTAs affect the off-season and maybe the work for you leading up to the start of this season, man?
Well, I thought that I was going to get one more practice in to watch, and those are always fun, and you know, people love the videos that we get at practice, and we only got two of those instead of three. The mini camp was always something that actually was in question for the 49ers. It was only something I think that they would have done had they not had enough participation earlier on in OTAs to get everybody into the flow of things, because the goal of the offseason program, this portion of it, is not to run a competition or not to put on pads. You can't even do that, obviously. It's to see where everybody is physically and to give them that first dose of the playbook so that they can go home and digest it over the 40-plus days before training camp and then be ready to attack training camp the way that they're supposed to. So Kyle Shanahan initially thought that 8 team-wide OTA practices would be what he needed to accomplish that. And if he got to 8, he'd be happy. He'd be able to pack it up and call it a day. And the 49ers actually were on track to hit 8 on the day that Justin School tore his ACL and Tarvarius Moore tore his Achilles. So they wrapped it up then and they said, okay, 7's enough. 7's enough. They weren't going to do the mini camp anyway. So it's 7 instead of 8 practices. They feel that the guys can go home now and figure out, you know, what exactly they need to work on over these 40 plus days, and they'll all come back to training camp ready to go. Unfortunately, the 49ers did suffer those two injuries, plus the one to Jeff Wilson when he got hurt standing up from his chair in the locker room. So that left a sour note on the offseason, but I think that for all intents and purposes, Kyle Shanahan does believe that the work that they needed to get done did get done over OTAs.
So should we be under the impression, or maybe it's the fact and the truth of the matter, which is what you were just talking about, when they made the decision to scrap that final practice, was it because of those injuries, or was it just done like we were kind of planning this anyway and then these injuries just sort of put the nail in the coffin on this thing?
That one practice was because of the injuries. They said, okay, well, this is...
It's not worth it.
We've gotten our work in. We've got the 7 out of 8 in. Is it really worth, you know, squeezing the extra juice out of that orange when this happened the other day and maybe guys' heads are not in the right space anymore, because you always hate seeing two of your teammates go down with what are probably two season-ending injuries. So, yeah, they canceled that one. Did they, you know, just scrap 5 more practices because of it? No, and that would have been an overreaction to scrap 5 more practices out of it. So, again, we're seeing people react to this online in extremes, you know, in both directions. The truth is always somewhere in the middle. And that middle ground at this point is, yes, the injuries did cause them to scrap some practice time, but didn't cause them to scrap an entire offseason program worth of practice. It was just one practice. They went to the team building exercise, which was bowling, a little bit earlier instead. And we'll see everybody again at training camp, where, you know, I think everybody hopes that the 49ers will be able to stay healthier than they did last season.
Yeah, Twitter, a great place for news, sometimes not a great place for reaction, right? People overreacting, as you're talking about, to the number of practices that were canceled. Hey, we're kind of getting to know some of the new faces, and not necessarily guys that are new to the team or the organization, but I'm talking about guys like D'Amico Ryans and Mike McDaniel. We're starting to hear them talk to the media now. Mike McDaniel, you had a piece on him last week, and I guess this is something that 49er fans are going to have to try to understand or get their head around, is he's the offensive coordinator. They did not want him to leave or take a job, a promotion elsewhere, so they promote him, but Kyle Shanahan is still the play caller, right? What's the enhanced role now for Mike McDaniel as far as the offensive coordinator?
Well, Mike McDaniel has always been designing plays in the background for the 49ers, and it's usually been run plays, because since 2017, the 49ers have had 2 co-offensive coordinators, you could say, not technically, but for all intents and purposes, they had Mike LaFleur as the pass game coordinator and Mike McDaniel as the run game coordinator. So the talents of both of those guys combined to make one offensive coordinator, and Kyle Shanahan was the play caller. So we shouldn't get coordinator confused with play caller, because that's still the case right now. But now that Mike LaFleur is gone and he's taken the Jets offensive coordinator and play caller position, Mike McDaniel is back with the 49ers as he's been promoted to offensive coordinator, because he's no longer just the run game coordinator. He's taken on the pass game coordinator duties that Mike LaFleur previously had. So that's the big change. That's where his responsibility has grown. He has experience in the pass game. I mean, his first job in the NFL was in a wide receiver room. So he's worked in all facets of the offense, run game, pass game, everything. And now he gets the design for all facets of the offense. Mike McDaniel's also Kyle Shanahan's longest tenured assistant. I mean, Mike McDaniel's first job in the NFL was to be Kyle Shanahan's assistant for Shanahan's first position coach job in the NFL, and that was with the Houston Texans, 14-15 years ago. So he's going to continue assisting Shanahan. He's a trusted voice in Shanahan's head during games. Shanahan will look to McDaniel for advice. You know, Shanahan might have an idea that he generally needs more motion on a play, or he needs to make the offense more ambidextrous. He wants to run more stuff to the left or to the right, and you know, to really bring that larger vision to fruition, he'll consult McDaniel on the headset. And because McDaniel's designed so much of this stuff during the week and how to implement it, McDaniel will have the specific recommendations for Shanahan, and then Shanahan will make the final call and pick out of those recommendations. So it really is a collaborative process. I think that's what people need to realize, that it's not just Shanahan sitting there overruling everybody. He's relying on input from guys that he trusts a lot. And there probably is nobody that he trusts more on this 49er staff than Mike McDaniel, because he's been with him for so long, for those 14 seasons.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors. It's great clarity on the role he's going to play. And I'd imagine now that because he's got the title of offensive coordinator, we're going to hear his voice more. And he'll be doing more media and speaking to the media about some of the decisions made, I think, in games and leading up to games. So that should be good. And for 49er fans to get used to his voice and what he's like in talking to the media. Now, he talked a lot about Trey Lance. And he talked about him being a coachable player, an adaptable player, a guy who's not being hard on himself when they're making corrections or telling him things he's got to work on. Basically, it takes a village. Nobody does anything by themselves. None of this happens in a vacuum. How much of the growth of Trey Lance falls on the offensive coordinator and on the passing game coordinators versus just on Kyle Shanahan? Because we always talk about learning Shanahan's offense, but to your point, there's a lot of guys who are coming into the mix here with trying to mold this guy into the next franchise quarterback.
Yeah, so I mean, Mike McDaniel's designing a lot of these plays, so he better have a good relationship with him, because you have to be on the same page as not only your play caller, who's Kyle Shanahan, but also as the play designer. So, you know, for a lot of teams, that's the same guy, right? Your offensive coordinator is going to be calling the plays. For the 49ers, it's two separate guys, but they've worked very well in tandem for 14 years or so. So McDaniel and Kyle Shanahan are both very important coaching influences on Trey Lance. And then that extends to Rich Gangarello, who the 49ers brought back to be their quarterbacks coach this offseason. And then even the pass game coordinator, you know, that's Mike LaFleur's former role, but, you know, I think it's a little bit lower on the pecking order now that the 49ers have a formal offensive coordinator in Mike McDaniel. But the pass game coordinator is a guy named Bobby Slowick, and he's also very hands-on with Trey Lance. So when you go out to practice, you see all four of those names at one point or another of almost every practice, keeping a close eye, not only on Trey Lance, but also on Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, these guys have to be plugged into the quarterback position, because as we know from the history of football, a quarterback is only going to be as good as his play caller and as the play calling apparatus around him. And for the 49ers, that's at least four guys, you know, between the pass game coordinator, the offensive coordinator, the quarterback's coach, and the head coach, who's so heavily involved in the offense. The wires can't cross between those four guys. That's the phrase that Mike McDaniel used. And he said that's why it's so important that this coaching staff is acting cohesively, because Trey Lance and, you know, all of our quarterbacks will be getting instructions from these four guys, and they'll be getting coaching from these four guys. And it's really important that the final product ends up cohesive and on the same page.
That's a good way to say it, not getting your wires crossed, especially when you're trying to get a kid to grow who hasn't played tons of college football just in general, and you view him as a future franchise quarterback. One more thought here on the offense or potential offensive acquisitions. We've been, you know, hearing the name Zach Ertz is kind of out there floating around. Is he in the cards for the 49ers? Is this something we may see them go out and try to do? I've seen the Titans are linked to him. What are your thoughts just on more players that could come in here for the Niners?
Well, you know, they're in a really tight cap situation. Kyle Shanahan said it the other day when he and John Lynch took over this team and made the long-term plan. They anticipated that they'd be working with a $230 million cap this year. Instead, they're dealing with a $182 million cap. So that's about a, you know, $50 million shortfall that the 49ers have had to twist their way through to build a strong team. I do believe they have a strong roster. I do believe a huge part of the move to get a potentially transcendent rookie quarterback was because of this cap crunch, because this could save him some money moving down the road, even if you do keep Jimmy Garoppolo for the duration of his contract. But I also do believe that the spot right now is extremely tight. That dissuaded them from, you know, winning out on Julio Jones. They were definitely interested. They might have been willing to pursue him at a certain point, but not at the cost that Tennessee ended up paying for Julio Jones. And I think that you have to look at the other potential acquisitions like Zach Ertz in the same light. I mean, it obviously wouldn't cost as much draft capital to acquire a player like Zach Ertz, but financially, he wouldn't be a veteran salary exception minimum deal kind of player. And to me, when you look at the spreadsheet, unless the 49ers start doing some serious restructuring, which might compromise some of their, you know, salary health next year and the year after that, it's going to be hard to fit a guy like Zach Ertz. And they're low on both 2021 and 2022 cap space, and it's not expected to explode until 2023 with the new TV deal. So technically, can they make a move for Zach Ertz, clear up the room for him? Yes, but he would have to be a guy that Shanahan absolutely loves and believes is essentially indispensable toward the success of this team for him to take that kind of short-term risk and, you know, just totally twist around the numbers in a way that might compromise the 49ers' long-term sustainability. And I'm not so sure that Zach Ertz falls in that category. Julio Jones might have fallen into that category based on the way that Kyle Shanahan had spoken of him before then, but even he didn't fall into that category. So am I to think that Zach Ertz will? Probably not. It is possible, but I think the 49ers are on minimum deals from this point forward.
I would tend to agree with you there, especially with a guy who's had some injury problems, and I know that came into play with Julio Jones as well. David, I appreciate the time today, man. Thanks so much. You said about 40 days until they're back out there. Hopefully a little bit of downtime for you before it ramps back up again, and we appreciate all the coverage you've been giving us, but I'm looking ahead and I'm getting excited, man. Once you flip the calendar to July, that's when I really start getting hot about football. So we're right around the corner, man. Thanks again.
Yeah, thank you.
Always good catching up with David Lombardi. And yeah, I guess for 49er fans, no news is good news for the next month or so. You don't want to hear about any injuries. You just want guys to get healthy and get back on the field. Injuries decimated this team and this roster last season, maybe more than any team in football, save the Dallas Cowboys. They dealt with tons of injuries last year. So I think the thought is if the Niners are healthy, they will be one of the teams to beat, or one of the teams that could be a favorite in the NFC. Thank you to David. Thank you to Brian. Thank you to you, the listener. If you're enjoying the podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever it is you're listening. We'll keep bringing you the greatest stories in Bay Area sports. And this week, the Philadelphia Phillies come to town, which means on Friday, we'll talk to our favorite Philly asshole. It's Kevin Franz, who joins us, talking Giants and Philadelphia Phillies. All that is coming up on Friday. Until then, enjoy the week. We'll talk to you Friday.